Okay, I want to talk about Korach. It's very hard to grab on to what the issue with Korach really, really was. But we'll do a section. We'll do a section. Hopefully we'll be able to... It says in this pasuk, "Vayakel alehem Korach et kol ha'ida." In others, there were different levels of opposition to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was Korach and Datan v'Aviram. And then there were other people, 250 people went along with them. And then there was Kol Ha'ida. Right? The Kol Ha'ida is the last group that is mentioned in the parasha. So, Vayakel alehem Korach et Kol Ha'ida el petach ol mo'ed. But he brought them along with him. Now Rashi says, Vayakel alehem Korach bidivrei leitzanut. Leitzanut in modern Hebrew means like a more comical approach, but leitzanut, it means in this case silliness, silly comments. And so what did he say? Kol ha'layla hu halach eitzel ha'shvatim. All night long he went to the various tribes, upita otam, and he tried to convince them that they should go with him. And they said, "Ksvurim atem sha'alai levadi ani makpid." You think I'm only worried about myself? Korach said, "Eini makpid ela bishvil kulchem." No. I'm worried about all of you. Elu ba'im v'notlim kol ha'gedulot. They, and he's referring to Moshe and Aaron, take all of the great jobs. Lo ha'malchut ulachiv akuna. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, gets kingship, even though it's not a halachic kingship because his sons did not inherit him, but he had all the trappings of malchut. He was like a king. Ulachiv akuna, hashenit patu kulam, and all of these people in this category called Kol Ha'ida. Remember, it's the fourth group. There's Korach himself, and his assistants were Datan v'Aviram. And then there are 250 people who went along with them. And then there's Kol Ha'ida. So we're now learning about Kol Ha'ida. And Rashi says that Korach made an attempt to increase the opposition to Moshe Rabbeinu by bringing in all kinds of people and telling them, this is going to be good for you. This revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu will be good for you because you'll get something also. And then and then the rest of the pasuk says unbelievably, "Vayera kivod Hashem el kol ha'ida," and the kivod Hashem, whatever that means. The word kavod is a word that is used to describe the presence of God. Although for us it's not clear what that is exactly, but apparently everybody who saw kivod Hashem knew that it was God. It could have been a cloud. It could have been a fire. It could have been something making noise, all kinds of noise at the Kol Shofar, at the Matan Torah. It doesn't matter what the words are used. What words are used to describe Kavod Hashem? They knew, whoever was there knew that it was God. That it wasn't just a cloud. It wasn't just a noise. It was. They knew that. So Vayera Kavod Hashem El Kol Ha'ida seems to me to be a little problematic, because Vayera Kavod Hashem El Kol Ha'ida sounds like a spiritual achievement, right? Vayera Kavod Hashem El Kol Ha'ida. That happens when something important is about to happen, when some announcement is going to be made. But in any event, here it sounds like it means they saw the anger. They saw God's anger in the appearance. And that's Kavod Hashem. Rashi says, Vayera Kavod Hashem, Baba Amud Anan. That's what they saw. They saw a cloud, a pillar that was a cloud. But they knew that it was Kavod Hashem. They knew that. The next pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe el Aharon lemor. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe el Aharon lemor. So even though everybody saw the Kvod Hashem, everybody saw it, the speech was made in the direction of Moshe and Aaron, leaving them out. Leaving the Kol Ha'ida was left out. So he says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe el Aaron leimar. And then comes this somewhat difficult pasuk. He badlu mitoch ha'ida hazot v'achale otam karaga. Right? He badlu. Separate yourself from them, and I will destroy them instantly. So you know also that Hashem suggested this to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet HaEgel. Right? We'll get rid of all of them, and we'll start over again. And you will be the father of the new great nation, you Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu refused. And he argued in defense of the people who had made this Egel HaZahav. And here again, Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, he badlu, the two of them this time, not just Moshe, but, I mean, Aaron was somehow also part of the Egel HaZahav. What exactly he did is debatable, let's say, disputable. But he was certainly part of it in some way or other. Here, Aaron is like Moshe. They're both on the defensive. So Hashem says to them, he badlu, separate yourself, mitoch ha'ida hazot, v'achale otam kerag, and I will destroy them in a moment. Pasuk ha'bet, v'yiplu al p'neihem. Vayiplu al pneihem, this happens several times in the Chumash, and Rashi always says that Vayiplu al pneihem is an act that you do when you don't know what to do. When you have nothing to say. And there's nothing you can, there's no real response. That's Vayiplu al pneihem. So what did they say? Vayomru, Kel Elokei Aruchot L'chol Basar. They said, they addressed God in a special way. In a way that we never heard before. But El Elohei Aruchot, the God of the winds, for all basar, for all meat. Ha'ish echad yecheta, v'al kol ha'idah tiktof. Now what an accusation that is. And of course it reminds us of Avram Avinu, Sodom. Right, when we say that Avraham Avinu had something to say about Sodom, so it's not clear whether what was Avraham Avinu saying? Was he accusing God of not being just? Is that what the pshat is, or is it some other pshat? It always seemed to me that Avraham Avinu said, as the Rambam says, he knew that God was just. It didn't even occur to him that the story of Sodom could be an unjust, just judgment. Instead, what Avraham Avinu turns to God to say is, look, I have a job in my lifetime to spread the word that there is one God and it's a just God. How am I supposed to explain what's happening in Sodom v'Amora? That was the question. If there are 50 righteous people, you're going to kill them also? So of course the answer to the question was, no, the righteous people will not be judged with the others who are not righteous. That was God's answer to the question. 50, yes. 40, yes. 30, yes. What if it's only one? If there's only Lot who is a kind of marginal righteous person. He's not really righteous, at least the way we think of being. He'll also be saved. He was also saved. Right? He was saved. His family was saved. So that Abraham simply misunderstood. That he thought that the righteous people would be killed. And here, what do Moshe and Aaron say? Ha'ish echad yecheta. This is a lack of judgment. That's Korach. They just came along. Korach is an entertainer. He's a good presenter. He said something that people like to hear. They're not really sinners at the level of Korach. Rashi says, well, first, let's do the Ish Echad. You see the second part of the Rashi in Pasuk Bet. Ha'ish Echad, hu ha'chote, v'ata'al kol ha'ida tiktof, and you're going to get angry at all the Eida. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, yefe amarti, ani yodea u'modia mi chata u'mi lo chata. I announce, I will tell you, who's the one who sinned and who did not sin. So it's again, you have this kind of case. Pasuk of Dalet, Daber Lai Dalet Mohe Yalu Mishabim Mishkan Korach, I'm sorry, Pasuk of Aleph. God says to Moshe and Aaron, Hibadlu Mitoch Haida Zot V'chale Otam Karaga, starting out position of heaven. I'm going to get rid of them. And then they fall on their faces by Yomru, Ha'ish Echad Yichata V'chol Haida Tikzov, וידבר השם אל משה לאמור, פסוק כ"ד, דבר אל העדה לאמור, היעלו מסביב משכן קורח נתן ואבירם. The second position is, the first position was, you, Moshe and Aaron, separate yourself from them. The second position of God was, you, Eda, separate yourself from Korach. You see that? I can sort of pass from a directive to Moshe and Aaron. It passed and became a directive of the Eida. Daber Eida Limor Hayalumi Saviv LeMishkan Korach Datan VaAviram. That's pasuk Kav Dalet. That's pasuk Kav Dalet. Pasuk Kav Hey. VaYakov Moshe VaYelech Al Datan VaAviram VaYelchu Acharam Zeknei Zozov. So we're finished with the Eida. The Eida that was collected by Korach, Vayachel Alehem Korach, at Kol Ha'eda. So Hashem said, we're going to do away with the Eida. Moshe and Aaron said, no, no, you can't do that. And then he said, okay, let the Eida separate itself once again from Korach, and they did. And now, Pasuk Kafei, Vayakov Moshe Vayelech El Datan v'Aviram, v'yelchu acharav ziknei Yisrael. V'yakov Moshe, Rashi says, k'savur sheyisu lo panim v'lo asu. K'savur, he thought that they would look kindly upon him. Right? K'savur sheyisu lo panim v'lo asu. But they didn't. So, again, the pasuk says, pasuk kafei, vayakov Moshe vayelech el Datan v'Aviram, vayelchu acharav zignei Yisrael. So I'm not sure exactly how Datan v'Aviram get back into the story here. Rashi doesn't help me. You see the problem? Because we're talking about the Eida, this large mass of people that Korach convinced. They hadn't done anything wrong, and they really were not into it on their own, but Korach convinced them that they should go with him. And then Hashem says, okay, they want to go with Korach, they'll all be killed. Moshe and Aaron say whatever they say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, we'll change it. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el ha'ida lemor, hayalu misaviv mishkan Korach Datan v'Aviram. Go and tell them that they can save themselves. If they separate themselves from Mishkan, okay, that's a hard word because it reminds us of a holy place. Mishkan, Korach, Datan, V'Aviram. They should separate themselves from the temple of Korach, Datan, V'Aviram, which sounds like there was something else going on, even though Rashi doesn't mention it. The fact that there was a Mishkan of Korach, Datan, V'Aviram. Okay? So Hashem says to them, talk to the Eida and have the Eida separate itself from Korach, Datan, V'Aviram. Right? Vayakov Moshe, Pasuk Kafei, Vayelech al Datan, V'Aviram, Vayelchu acharav, Zeknei Yisrael. Vayedaber al ha'aida. So I don't know why he went to, why did he go to Datan v'Aviram? I don't know. Vayedaber al ha'aida le'mor. And he went, again, turned to the Eida. Remember the Eida? That's the topic in these psukim. Le'mor. Suru na me'al ohalei ha'anashim ha'rishaim ha'ele. V'al tigu b'kol asher lahem. Penti safu b'kol chatotam. And so Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Eida. He went to Datan v'Aviram. And the Eida is also there. So maybe he's standing in between the Datan v'Aviram and the Eida, and he says to them, you better run away, get away from Korach, the household of Korach. Suru na mi'alo alei ha'anashim ha'rishaim ha'elu. Here he calls it O'alim, not Mishkan. V'al tigu b'kol asher lahem. Don't touch anything that belongs to them. Penti safu b'kol chatotam. Lest you are swept up in all of their sins. Rashi doesn't say a thing. Next pasuk, vayealu me'al mishkan, back to the word mishkan, Korach, Datan, v'Aviram misaviv, v'Datan, v'Aviram yetzu nitzavim, petach olehem, u'nishehem, u'vinehem, v'tapam. So, it's a standoff. Moshe Rabbeinu convinces the Eida to back away from Korach, Datan, v'Aviram, but Datan v'Aviram, right? But Datan v'Aviram yetzu nitzavim. Nitzavim, they stood straight. They were tough. Petach ohalehem, and they stood in front of their tents, Datan v'Aviram, and they stood there with their wives and their children and their babies. Right? They were all standing there. So here Moshe Rabbeinu has accomplished something. He's got the Eida to move away. And he is now has to deal with Datan v'Aviram. He has to deal with Datan v'Aviram. Remember, again, we said Korach, Datan v'Aviram, 250 guys who were with them, and then the Eida. So the problem of the Eida is solved. They're moving away. And we're up to the problem of Datan v'Aviram. Vayome Moshe, Pasuk Kaf Chet. Pasuk Kaf Chet. Vayome Moshe, Vizot Teidun Ki Hashem Shlachani, Lasot Et Kol HaMasim Ha'elu Ki Lo Mi Libi. So here's the ultimate defense against the argument of Korach. According to this Pasuk, what was it that Korach was fighting about? So this is in the Rashi. Rashi says, Nishehem uvnei, I have to go back. Nishehem uvneihem v'tapam, I'm sorry. Pasuk of Zayin, the Rashi. Bo ure'ei kama kashe hamachloket. Rashi. Interesting Rashi. Rashi talks about, he says, how difficult is it to maintain a dispute, in a dispute? Sharei beitin shel mata, ein onshim ela ad sheyavisei sarot. A beit din, a regular beit din, can only punish mature people, mature children who have matured physically. But they can't punish children and certainly can't punish babies. Beit Din Shemala ad 20 shana. We know that the Beit Din Shemala, the psaka or the punishment of karet, is not applied until you're 20 years old. Can avdu af yonkesha daim. And here, the punishment went out even to babies who were nursing with their mothers. Right? So now, Pasuk Kafchet. Vayome Moshe bezot teidun. Zot, something is going to happen, and you're going to know. Ki Hashem shlachani lasot et kol ha'masim ha'ele, ki lo milibi. That means, the words mean, you're going to know, you're going to find out, you're going to have this understanding that God sent me to do what I'm supposed to do. Kilo milibi. I didn't invent it. I did not invent any of the things that I did. And Rashi says, et lasot de kol ha-masim ha-eile shasiti al pi ha-dibu latet la-aron kuhuna. I did it because God told me to do it. I gave Aaron, I made Aaron the Kohen Gadol, ubanav skanei kuhuna, velitzafan nisi hakati. That's what I did. I did all this because that's what God told me to do. So if that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in his defense, what did Korach say about Moshe Rabbeinu? What did Korach say about Moshe Rabbeinu? He said he invented it. It was his idea. And why is his idea better than anybody else's idea? I mean, the original argument that Korach presented was ki kol ha'am kulam kedoshim. Everybody was at Har Sinai. Everybody was a prophet. Everybody became a Navi at Har Sinai. So it's true, Moshe Rabbeinu is also a Navi. But why is it when it comes to appointing one person or another that Moshe Rabbeinu's opinion is greater than anybody else's opinion? And so what Moshe Rabbeinu says, what Moshe Rabbeinu says is, Ki Hashem Shalachani, this harkens back to Shmot Perek Bet or Perek Gimel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you Moshe, you're going to go get them out of Mitzrayim. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Lo yaminu bi. They're not going to believe me when I tell them that God sent me to take you out of Mitzrayim. And of course it's true. Why should they believe me? What is this? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you'll do a miracle. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's a little miracle. Okay, do another miracle. You do another miracle. And then eventually they believe you. Why will they, supposedly, why will they believe you, the Jews? Because they'll see that the Egyptian magicians can't do it. Like what were the Egyptian magicians able to do? Dam, Svardeya. But they couldn't do kinim, right? They couldn't do kinim. Whatever the reason is. So if they couldn't do kinim, and that was supposed to create belief of Am Yisrael in Moshe Rabbeinu, how come the Egyptians didn't believe? And if the Egyptians didn't believe, maybe the Jews also didn't believe. In other words, the Jews had a different way of judging. If something good happened to them, if Paro made them collect the straw to build the bricks, and that made labor more difficult, if that was what happened, so if that's what happened, so what did the Jews say? They said maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is not a shaliach of Hashem, because if he was a shaliach, why should things get worse for us? So the same thing is true, probably, that they were influenced by the Egyptians. What did the Egyptians say? The Egyptians said, no, we don't want you to go. We don't let you out. We don't care about the last makkah that we just had. We'll overcome. We'll put up with it. That's what the Egyptians say. Now, where did the Egyptians get the strength to do that? I always ask this question, right? Where the it's true that the pasuk says ki echbadati et libo about Paro. It's true, but what did Paro say to himself? Paro didn't say to himself, "I'm acting this way because God made me act this way." Paro didn't do that. But what did Paro say to himself about what he was doing? He said that the magic of Moshe Rabbeinu has probably run out of steam. It's true that Moshe Rabbeinu is a great magician, but the way magicians are is that they run out of steam. That eventually they can't do it anymore. So my magicians ran out of steam in Kinim, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll run out of steam some other time. Not only that, they believe this so fervently that after Makat Bechorot, which was a pretty extreme kind of punishment that they, I mean, whether you think it's this kind of miracle or that kind of miracle, it certainly is on the level of a major punishment that the Mitzrim went through. And yet, Paro went and he said, let's go and get them. And they all came. They all came because they were certain that Moshe Rabbeinu had used up his powers. There was nothing more that he could do to them that they had not suffered already. So they ran after Moshe Rabbeinu into Yam Suf, and the only way to stop the Egyptians, ultimately, was to drown them. They had to disappear from the earth. You know, drown? They were in the water, covered with water. Right? You have that image of being in the water and covered up with the water, and they disappeared? Okay, some of them were on the shore, but they basically disappeared. So what does our pasuk say?
What made them so certain that Moshe was about to run out of steam?
They just knew that
facts already,
because it was a pretty extreme, that it was something that no magician had ever been able to do before. But I don't know, but I see that they did. They took up the challenge and they went and chased after B'nai Israel. And there was no way to stop them. There was no way to get them to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was truly an emissary, a shaliach of God, and that God was interested in this resolution, the Jews leaving Mitzrayim and the Egyptians letting them go. You could not convince them of that. You had to wipe them out. They had to be destroyed. They were destroyed. Now, I just want to mention, Pasuk Kaftet, Im kamot kal adam yimutun elu, if these people will die, as all people die, ufkudat kol ha'adam yipakeid alehem, and they will end their lives in a regular way, like everybody else ends their lives, then you are right, lo Hashem shilachani, God did not send me. V'im b'riya yivra Hashem, and if God creates something, ufatzita adamat piya, and the earth will open up its mouth ubilaa otam, and will swallow them up, et kol asher lahem v'yardu chayim she'ol, and they will go down to she'ol, wherever that might be, chayim, they will be living. V'yidatem ki niyatzu anashim ha'ele et Hashem. The Ramban we'll see the Ramban in a minute, but you understand what happened? What's the death? The death of these people. Hashem shall asod kol ma'asima eile. Im kemot kol ha'adam yimutun eile. Ufkudat kol adam yipakeira lehem lo Hashem shlachani. Then you are right. If these people, Datan Babiram, and the 250 other guys, if they die a natural death, then you know that God did not send me. So what's going to happen to them? There'll be a bria. A bria is like the word for creation. There'll be a new creation, and that new creation is patzta adamat pia ubala otam et kol asher lahem. That's the new creation. A new kind of way of dying. V'yardu chayim she'ola, and they will go to she'ol living. V'yidatem ki ni'atzu anashim ha'ele et Hashem. And you'll know that these people have annoyed, have angered, have disagreed with God. And that's their punishment. So you see that there is a parallel between the punishment of the Egyptians at Yam Suf, where they were enveloped in the water. They were enveloped in the water. It was like they were going through a mabul kind of experience. Right? The mabul, we don't know what happened to all the people who died, but they disappeared in the water. And the Egyptians, even though God had promised not to destroy the world that way, but apparently that promise does not include killing or destroying a certain number of people who deserve to be destroyed. So that the Egyptians were destroyed by the Mabul, by the Yam Suf that covered them. Right? The image is striking. Right? They covered them alive and they disappeared in the water. Right? Sus v'rochvo rama v'yam. But they're inside. They're not outside. And here too, Here too, the way they died was by being enveloped alive in the earth. In the earth, that's the Bri'ah. And so we know that these miracles are like a Bri'ah Chadasha, one-time events in history, and a one-time event, the Rishonim all say, overwhelms Bri'ah. That creation, the system of creation, whether you call it nature or you call it a miracle, it doesn't matter, right? This machloket, the Rambam and the Ramban, about whether everything is a miracle. The Ramban says everything's a miracle, meaning that if God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't happen. So that means that when the grass grows, that's what Chazal say, it's like it grows because there's an angel for every blade of grass, gives it a whack, and the grass grows a little bit. So nothing happens that's not a miracle. But if you hold like the Rambam, that there's nature, the Rambam agreed that Yamsuf, Kriyat Yamsuf, it's like a Bria Chadasha. It's not part of the setup. The Chazal have different ways of talking about that. They say that there's a Bria Erev Shabbat. There were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbat. Ben Hashmashot means it's not exactly day and it's not exactly night. So that anything that was created, Ben Hashmashot, is special. It's differentiated from the other things that were created. So here, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say?
Why wasn't Kriyat Yamsuf in that?
What?
Why wasn't Kriyat Yamsuf Ben Hashmashot also?
It's hard for me to answer a question like that. I don't know. It could have been from the point of view of uniqueness, that the Kriyat Yamsuf was a unique event. But here it says the reason that God is going to express this kind of punishment is to prove to you ki lo milibi, right? Ki lo milibi, Hashem shelachani. So the prediction that Moshe Rabbeinu had in the beginning of Shmos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to do this job, Moshe Rabbeinu said, lo yaminu bi. They're not going to believe. What are they not going to believe? What is it that they're not going to believe? After all, at Matan Torah, at the time of Matan Torah, they all received prophecy. They were all mekablei HaTorah. They all knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu because they were in his head, so to speak. They were all in the same head. They had Moshe Rabbeinu. So what was it that is ki mi libi? They said it's mi libi and it's not mi libi. Well, it's what Rashi says. That there are non-Torah positions that were adopted by Moshe Rabbeinu because he was told, God told him to do that. For example, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to be the Melech. Aaron is going to be the Kohen Gadol. El Safad is going to be the Nasi. Now those are not necessarily part of the written Torah. So you could say the people, what Korach said, what did Korach say? Okay, when it comes to Torah, I believe Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the man who brought us the Torah. I can't argue about that. But who said that just because he brought us the Torah, he also has to bring us Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol? Maybe we should open it up to like a Mikhraz. We'll decide who the best man for the Kohen Gadol is. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu meant. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu meant, that it was a problem of leadership and not a problem of Torah. That when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hem lo yaminu bi, he didn't mean they won't believe that I'm giving them the Torah. Because they're going to have a way of making that judgment. They'll be able to judge that the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them is really the Torah. Because they also participated in the prophecy of Har Sinai. But when it comes to directives that Moshe Rabbeinu receives because he is the leader of Bnei Yisrael, that they have no way of judging. So that's where Korach said. That's where Korach said. We're all part of Kulanu Kedoshim. We're on Har Sinai. So why is your opinion more significant than anybody else's opinion? We're all, when it comes to a secular decision, who should be on the board of directors, who should be the Kohen Gadol, meaning that he's going to organize things with his children and go into the Kodesh Kodashim and Yom Kippurim. Who says that you know better than we know? Who says that you are more appropriate choice than we are? And this question, which I think, and so, in fact, this problem was solved by upatzeta ha'adama at piya, ubala utam, et kol asher lahem, yadu chayim she'ola, which is against the way God wants the world to run. God did not make a world in which people were yordim chayim she'ola, but people died, and then they went to wherever they were supposed to go. V'yadatem g'niyatzu anashim e'ele et Hashem. Pasuk lamed aleph. We just want to finish the psukim. V'yihi kechalotol ledaber et kol hadverim ha'ele v'tibaka hadama shetachtehem. That's what happened. The earth opened up. V'tiftach ha'aretz et piya v'tivla otam et batehem et kol hadama shelukorach v'et kol ha'rechush. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the people who were with Korach, and Kol HaRechush. Right, so the Eidah was already saved. We're talking about the 250 people who were with Korach, Datan, v'Aviram. V'yardu heim b'kol asher lahem chayim she'ola, v'techas aleim ha'aretz, v'yavdu mikov do'ka. V'techas aleim ha'aretz means that they were, that the earth was returned to its original form. You didn't know where the people went. They just disappeared. They disappeared, and it's like Kriyat Yam Suf. It's like the Mabul. It's like those events in which the world was entirely changed. Pasuk Lamedalet b'chol Yisrael ashrish v'yotehem nasu l'kolam. They all ran away. Ki amru pentiv la'enu ha'aretz ve'esh yatz'a me'et Hashem v'tochal et ha'chamishim u'matayim ish makrivei ha'ktoret. Okay, so there you have it. So there you have it. It seems to me again that the significant point is that Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting for his job as a melech, as the one who makes decisions, as the one who determines what should be and what will be. And this was something that Moshe Rabbeinu knew originally would be problematic, that the people would have no way of making the judgment of who to listen to. And we know that later on, the Melech, who Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech, right, the king who should have been at least able to make a decision about whether to go to war or not, that seemed to be one of his jobs, nevertheless had to consult with the Urim V'Tumim to find out the answer to that question, meaning that in his area of competence, the king was not able to make a decision that everybody would follow and accept. We had to go in a more direct manner to find out what God says about going to war. Right? This was a problem. This a problem existed in the beginning of the formulation of Am Yisrael as a nation. And that was, how do we get to the point where the decisions that are made are in line with divine will? When it comes to halakha, we figured out a way to do it. Right? We came to the conclusion that the judges, whoever they are, have the ability to make a determination about a halakhic matter. and that whatever their determination is, however, even if it's a machloket, you can figure out which side of it is correct. So you get a response which is acceptable to all of the Jews. All of the Jews will accept the fact that the Torah wants you to act in a certain way. But when it comes to technical matters, do we have leadership for technical matters? I mean, it's an interesting question. Today, Gedolim has become a kind of an issue in academic circles. It's a very big book that was just published called Gedolim. Not such an exciting topic, but I think it's a good book. It's full of interesting information. Let me say that. I don't get any percentages of the book if you buy it, but I'm not suggesting that you buy it. I'm just saying it's like a thought. Like, what do you need Gedolim for? Why do you need people who give advice? I mean, why isn't the barber good enough? You know, every barber gives advice. And it's free. And you get a haircut at the same time, which certainly is a good deal, right? So people want the Jews, or the Jews, many Jews that I know, want to feel that even in small matters that are not strictly speaking halakhic, they're doing the right thing. We want to do the right thing. Now, you can be critical of that or accepting of that, but there's no doubt that there are moments when people want to do the right thing. In order to find out what the right thing is, they might consult with people that they have a high regard for. Some people go to the barber, and some people go to the rabbi. But anybody who's been a rabbi, Gideon, knows that you get very strange requests as a rabbi. I mean, not just what do I do on Shabbos about this or that, but very strange questions about life. Because everybody wants to do the right thing. And rabbis somehow have this aura that they lead you in the right path. This all comes from Korach. It all comes from Korach, because Korach was the one who said that there's no reason to think that Moshe Rabbeinu necessarily is leading us in the right path. Chazal, if you remember, Chazal say that they enhance the argument of Korach, or they detract, or they said that Korach actually asked a halakhic question, or a pseudo halakhic question. And Korach said, if you have a house full of Sefrei Torah, do you need a mezuzah? Because every Sefer Torah has the parasha of a mezuzah in it. So if you have a house full of Sefrei Torah, do you have to put a mezuzah on that house? Right, so of course Moshe Rabbeinu said yes, and Korach said no. It's a kal v'chomer. One little mezuzah takes care of the whole house. A house full of Sefrei Torah certainly takes care of the whole house. The other thing had to do with the treles. But you understand that Chazal were looking for a halachic issue. They're saying, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the man of the halakha. He's the man who knew the answer to the question. Whereas here in this parasha, it says clearly that that's not the Moshe Rabbeinu that was being argued about. But the Moshe Rabbeinu was being argued about was the leadership Moshe Rabbeinu. The person who was going to explain to them what was good to them for them, even though it can't be confined to a halakhic position. Right? This, I think, is a normal kind of behavior. I don't think, not that I am, I think it's such a great idea, but it's normal for people to consult with people, other people who they think know more than they do, in general, even though they may be misguided about that as well. But that comes from the fight between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. All the best.
I have a question. So what is the purpose of the signs that God gave to Moshe?
Of the what?
Of the sign he gave him before. If it wasn't to prove to Bnei Israel that he was the leader.
Why did he give him the matah turned into a nachash? I think it was for the Egyptians. The whole thing, the whole story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is about the Egyptians.
But Moshe asked about Bnei Israel.
Yes, true. But Moshe, I think that Moshe was not really relevant in Yitziat Mitzrayim until Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, everybody knew that who Moshe Rabbeinu was, because they all participated in the prophecy. And before that, they didn't know.